Welcome to Chemistry of the Mind, unlocking the brain's secrets, exploring the unseen universe within our minds. Let's delve into this fascinating world of cortisol, sometimes called the stress hormone.
Right. It's involved in so many crucial bodily functions. It's like mind-boggling, from metabolism to immune response, even bone formation.
It's a real multitasker, this hormone, primarily produced in the adrenal glands, specifically the zona fasciculata, though interestingly, it's produced in smaller amounts elsewhere too.
So it's not just about stress then? I mean, we hear stress hormone and that's what sticks.
Well, it is a major player in the stress response, absolutely. But it also has this circadian rhythm rising and falling throughout the day, impacting things like our sleep-wake cycle, even when we're not stressed.
Huh. So like it's always there working in the background?
Exactly. Think of it as a conductor in an orchestra, constantly fine-tuning different systems. It regulates blood sugar, for example, through gluconeogenesis and...
Gluco what now? Sorry to interrupt, but...
No worries. Gluconeogenesis, it's the process of making glucose from non-carbohydrate sources. Cortisol kicks this into gear when blood sugar is low, like between meals or during exercise. It also impacts how our bodies use fats and proteins.
So, like, it's keeping our energy levels stable?
Precisely. It's also, it's crucial for our immune system, though in a, shall we say, complex way. It can suppress the immune response, which is important for managing inflammation.
Oh, so it's like a double-edged sword?
In a way, yes. Short-term suppression is good, prevents things from getting out of control, but long-term exposure to high cortisol can actually weaken the immune system, making us more susceptible to infections.
I see. So chronic stress equals chronically high cortisol, which equals a weakened immune system. Makes sense.
Yeah, and it can affect bone health, too. Cortisol decreases bone formation, potentially leading to osteoporosis over time. It really underscores the importance of managing stress.
Definitely. So how does it actually work, like at the cellular level?
Well, cortisol binds to receptors, either glucocorticoid or mineralocorticoid receptors inside cells. This binding then influences gene expression, affecting a wide range of processes.
So it's not just floating around in our blood, it's actually like interacting with our DNA?
Exactly. It's a powerful messenger, influencing how our genes function. And this interaction is at the heart of its many roles in the body. It's what allows it to impact everything from metabolism to memory. So we were talking about cortisol's impact at the cellular level, binding to those receptors and influencing gene expression.
Right. Yeah. Like a messenger interacting with our DNA, impacting everything from, you know, metabolism to memory. But what about... What triggers its release in the first place?
Well, the primary trigger is stress, both physical and psychological. When we perceive a threat, the hypothalamus, a region in the brain, releases corticotropin-releasing hormone, or CRH. This CRH then signals the pituitary gland to release...
adrenocorticotropic hormone, or ACTH, right? I remember reading about that.
Exactly. And ACTH, in turn, stimulates the adrenal glands to produce cortisol. It's this cascade of hormonal signals that prepares the body for the fight-or-flight response.
Oh, so it's like a chain reaction starting in the brain and ending in the adrenals?
Precisely. And this response is essential for survival, equipping us to deal with immediate threats. But it's the chronic activation of this system due to ongoing stress that can lead to problems.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if stress triggers cortisol, what about other factors? Does anything else influence its levels?
Well, cortisol also follows a natural daily rhythm called the circadian rhythm. Levels typically peak in the morning, helping us wake up and feel alert, and then gradually decline throughout the day, reaching their lowest point at night, promoting sleep.
Huh. So even without stress, there's a predictable rise and fall in cortisol levels?
Absolutely. And disruptions to this rhythm, like shift work or jet lag, can throw off cortisol levels and contribute to various health issues.
Hmm.
I see. So it's not just the amount of cortisol, but also the timing that matters.
So we've established that cortisol levels, even without stress, have this predictable ebb and flow throughout the day, right?
Yeah, the circadian rhythm peaks in the morning, dips at night. But what happens when that rhythm gets disrupted, like with, you know, shift work or jet lag you mentioned?
Well, it can really throw things off balance. It's like a conductor suddenly changing tempo mid-symphony. It can lead to sleep problems, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, even mood swings.
Oh, so it's not just physical effects, but mental too?
Precisely. And this disruption can increase vulnerability to anxiety disorders.
Anxiety disorders? Like what kinds?
Well, there's a whole spectrum. Generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety, even post-traumatic stress disorder can be linked to cortisol dysregulation.
Wow. So this one hormone, cortisol, can contribute to all of those?
It's not the sole cause, of course. Anxiety disorders are complex, with multiple contributing factors, genetics, environment, life experiences, they all play a role.
But cortisol is a significant piece of the puzzle?
It is. Think of it this way. Cortisol primes the body for the fight-or-flight response. It's essential for dealing with acute stress. But when cortisol levels are chronically elevated, or the circadian rhythm is consistently disrupted, the body remains in a heightened state of alert. This constant state of readiness can manifest as anxiety.
I see. So it's like the body's alarm system is stuck in the on position.
Exactly. And this chronic activation can have cascading effects on other systems, impacting sleep, mood, and overall well-being. It can create a vicious cycle where anxiety further disrupts cortisol levels, leading to more anxiety.
That makes sense. So if someone is struggling with anxiety, what can they do to manage their cortisol levels?
Well, lifestyle changes can be incredibly helpful. Regular exercise, a balanced diet, sufficient sleep, these all contribute to regulating cortisol.
And what about like stress reduction techniques?
Those are crucial. Mindfulness practices, meditation, yoga, these can help manage the stress response and bring cortisol levels back into balance. In some cases, medication may be necessary to address the underlying anxiety disorder.
So it's a multi-pronged approach?
It often is. Addressing anxiety requires tackling it from multiple angles, including managing cortisol levels, developing coping mechanisms for stress, and seeking professional support when needed.
Right. It's not just about calming down. It's about addressing the underlying physiological and psychological factors that contribute to anxiety. It's a lot more complex than people might think.
So we were discussing how chronic stress can really mess with cortisol levels and how that can contribute to anxiety, right?
Yeah, like the body's alarm system being stuck on, leading to a cascade of problems.
Exactly. And it's not just anxiety. This whole stress cortisol disruption can have broader implications for mental health, impacting things like obsessive compulsive disorder, even body dysmorphic disorder.
Oh, I hadn't connected those with cortisol.
The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence guidelines actually highlight interventions for OCD and BDD. And managing stress and the resulting hormonal imbalances is often a key component.
So these conditions, they're not just about like intrusive thoughts or distorted body image. There's a physiological element too?
Absolutely. The interplay between mind and body is crucial here. Cortisol dysregulation can exacerbate the symptoms of these disorders, making treatment more challenging.
I see. So treating the underlying hormonal imbalance could be part of a more holistic approach?
Precisely. And the impact of stress and cortisol isn't limited to these conditions. Think about selective mutism, for instance.
Selective mutism? That's where someone can speak perfectly well, but chooses not to in certain situations, right?
Right. And while the exact mechanisms are still being researched, studies suggest that anxiety, and by extension, cortisol, plays a significant role. A review in Clinical Psychology Review delves into this connection, highlighting the impact of anxiety on communication in these individuals.
Wow. So cortisol's reach is even wider than I thought.
It is, and it's not just mental health conditions. Cortisol dysregulation can manifest in physical symptoms too, like those seen in generalized anxiety disorder.
Generalized anxiety disorder? That's like constant worry and tension, right?
Exactly. And the New England Journal of Medicine published an article outlining the clinical presentation of GAD, highlighting the physical manifestations of this anxiety, often linked to elevated cortisol.
So physical symptoms like what sorts of things?
Well, things like muscle tension, headaches, digestive issues, even sleep disturbances can be linked to the body's chronic stress response and the resulting hormonal imbalances.
Huh. So it's not just a feeling of being anxious, it's a whole body experience.
Precisely. And these physical symptoms can further fuel the anxiety, creating a vicious cycle. It underscores the importance of managing stress through things like mindfulness practices, cognitive behavioral therapy, even medication in some cases.
Yeah, a multi-pronged approach, like you mentioned before.
So this article really delves into the complex relationship between stress, cortisol, and pain. right?
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's not just about like stress makes you hurt more. It's a whole cascade of physiological responses.
Exactly. It highlights how chronic stress can lead to cortisol dysfunction, which then throws off the body's natural anti-inflammatory processes.
And that dysfunction can manifest in, well, all sorts of ways, right? From fatigue and depression to actual physical pain.
Precisely. The article talks about how cortisol, in normal circumstances, helps to regulate inflammation. But when the stress response is constantly activated, it can lead to a sort of burnout, where cortisol stops functioning effectively.
Hmm.
So it's like the body's natural defense system gets overloaded and starts malfunctioning?
Exactly. And this malfunction can create a vicious cycle where inflammation increases pain, which then triggers more stress and so on.
It's like a runaway train, yeah?
It can be. The article also emphasizes the role of the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, or HPA axis, in this whole process.
The HPA axis? That's the system that controls the stress response, right?
Right. It's this intricate feedback loop involving the hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and adrenal glands. And when this loop gets disrupted by chronic stress, it can lead to all sorts of hormonal imbalances, including cortisol dysregulation.
So it's not just cortisol in isolation. It's this whole interconnected system that gets thrown out of whack?
Exactly. And the article makes a really interesting point about how even non-pain-related stress can exacerbate pain. Like, if you're dealing with work stress or relationship problems, that can actually intensify your experience of physical pain.
Hmm.
Oh? So it's not just that the pain is making you stressed, but other stressors can make the pain worse?
Precisely. It's this this complex interplay between mind and body. The article even mentions things like fear avoidance behavior and catastrophizing, where people magnify the threat of pain and become overly anxious about it, which can actually make the pain worse.
So it's like the more you focus on the pain and worry about it, the worse it gets.
Exactly. And this ties back into the HPA axis and cortisol. The article talks about how the amygdala, the part of the brain that processes fear, plays a key role in this process.
The amygdala? That's the fight or flight center, right?
In a way, yes. It's the part of the brain that responds to perceived threats. And when the amygdala is constantly activated by stress, it can trigger the HPA axis and lead to increased cortisol production, which, as we discussed, can eventually lead to cortisol dysfunction and increased inflammation.
So it's like the brain is sending out constant stress signals even when there's no real danger?
Exactly. And the article suggests that this chronic activation of the stress response can contribute to a wide range of pain conditions, from low back pain to fibromyalgia.
Wow. So managing stress is crucial not just for mental health, but for physical health too?
Absolutely. The article highlights the importance of things like mindfulness practices, cognitive behavioral therapy, and even medication in some cases, to help regulate the stress response and manage cortisol levels.
So it's a multi-pronged approach, addressing both the physical and psychological aspects of pain?
Exactly. And the article also discusses the importance of screening for stress in patients with chronic pain. Because if you're not addressing the underlying stress, you're only treating the symptoms, not the root cause.
That makes sense. It's like you can't just put a bandage on a broken bone. You have to address the underlying fracture. So understanding the role of stress and cortisol is crucial for effective pain management.
So we've been talking about how chronic stress can disrupt cortisol levels and contribute to anxiety. This article, though, takes it a step further, exploring the link between stress, cortisol, and...
And pain? Yeah, it's a bit mind-blowing, honestly. I always thought stress just made existing pain worse, not that it could actually cause pain.
Right. It's not just a simple stress equals pain equation. It's this whole cascade of physiological responses, starting with the HPA axis that...
The hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, that's the system that controls the stress response, right?
Exactly. And chronic stress can disrupt this system, leading to cortisol dysfunction, which in turn messes with the body's anti-inflammatory processes. It's
like a domino effect. One thing knocks another thing over and then another and...
Yeah, precisely. And the article highlights how this dysfunction can manifest in all sorts of ways, from fatigue and depression to, well, actual physical pain. It's not just in your head, so to speak.
Hmm.
So even if there's no physical injury, stress can still cause pain through this cortisol disruption?
That's what the article suggests, yeah. And it gets even more interesting. It talks about how non-pain-related stress, like, say, work stress or relationship problems, can actually exacerbate existing pain. Oh, so it's not just the pain causing stress, but other stressors can amplify the pain signals?
Exactly. It's this mind-body connection where psychological stress can have very real physical consequences. The article even mentions fear avoidance behavior, where people become overly anxious about pain and try to avoid anything that might trigger it, which, ironically,
can actually make the pain worse. Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. And the amygdala, the brain's fear center, plays a key role in this, triggering the HPA axis and
leading to more cortisol, which leads to more inflammation, which leads to more pain. It's a lot to take in.
It is. But understanding these connections is crucial for effective pain management. The article emphasizes a multi-pronged approach addressing both the physical and psychological aspects of pain. Things like mindfulness practices, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, and even medication in some cases. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. But the key takeaway, I think, is that managing stress is essential, not just for mental well-being, but for physical health, too.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of today's episode of Chemistry of the Mind. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time as we continue to explore the fascinating world of the human brain. Until then, take care of yourselves, and remember to
manage that stress. Goodbye, everyone.